Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, Mother's Day 2017, from the books of John chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, and the book of Psalms chapter 27. This message was just preached on May 14, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
Mothers are amazing people. They have taught children for millennia about what is right and what is wrong and about who Jesus Christ is. And there are some amazing truths about what mothers have taught. Mothers teach us about foresight, saying, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach us about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about genetics when they say, you're just like your father. Mothers teach us about contradictions when they say, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. They teach us about contortions. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? And they teach us about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out of it. Mothers know that the stickier the floor, the happier the kids. They know the drier the Play-Doh, the more fun the kids had. And when we look at stories of mothers in Scripture, there is one that can stand out and is one that we are going to look today at the impact of a mother on her children. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Jesus has chosen his disciples and has done a lot of teaching. He is now in Matthew 20, about to enter Jerusalem for the last week of his life. And several of his disciples are getting an idea that maybe this Jesus guy can actually set up a kingdom, that perhaps he is going to move against the Romans, and in doing so, set up a kingdom. And these 12 perhaps see themselves as the generals or the leaders of this new kingdom, and they would no doubt come and talk about what Jesus has done with their family back home. And so in Matthew 20:20, we have the mother of James and John, Mrs. Zebedee, it's her name. And it says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink? And they said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will in fact drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Now people have speculated as to who this mother is and what her name is. And there is a woman that appears at the cross and at the tomb, whose name is Salome. And if we look at Mark 15, there is a list of people who have come to the cross to support Jesus and to witness the crucifixion. And in Mark 15:40, it says, there were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, of the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. An early Christian legend, if you will. This is not in the Bible, but it is what your first century Christians believe, is that this is the mother of James and John, that she came and gave what we might consider a very brash request. She said, "I want my kids to get the awards when you come into your kingdom." And then Jesus discusses that, and there have been many sermons saying this mother was presumptuous, or this mother was egotistical, or this mother was putting her kids before Christ. But early Christian legend or tradition says that as Christ came through the triumphal entry and eventually to the cross, her attitude began to change and she began to really see who Jesus was and what he was going to do. And she was there at the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. She became, in a week's time, very educated by what Jesus was saying to her about what was going to happen to her children, and perhaps on the cross, seeing Jesus there, she understood that someday she would see her children on the cross. Of course, we know that James and John were not crucified, that James was stoned to death, and that John lived and died of old age, the only apostle to not be martyred, but to die of old age. And so if we look at this family and we look at the passage in Matthew, we see that James and John were fishermen. And we know when Jesus called them, it says that they walked away from their servants and their nets and their boats, all plural, so that they were perhaps well off or an established business of fishermen. And so they knew what it was to have means. They knew what it was to have money. And perhaps the mother knew that that's what Jesus could also give. But if we look at this from the good aspects of what she did, of what a good mother would do with the children, we see first and foremost that she knew where to get the best for her children. She didn't go to Pilate. She didn't go to King Herod. She knew that there was something about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ had some power, some value intrinsically, that if she wanted the best for her kids, it would have to come for Jesus. And many mothers today realize that as the world falls apart, as the world is full of contradictions and fake news and seems to be changing every day, if a mother wants stability for her kids, it has to be through Jesus Christ. And because traditionally it is the man who is going off and working, and it is the mother who has more influence upon the children, it is going to be the mother who is going to teach them and introduce them to Jesus. And in churches all around America today, there are mothers and their children without spouses coming to church, because in America it has grown into, and there are many reasons for this, but women are the driving religious force in families today. If a family is going to church, it is most likely because the mother is saying, "We are going to church, and I am going without you. I'm going to church." And in doing that, the mothers have become the teachers of religious education. And it is mothers who bring children to Jesus. Now, of course, James and John were adult children by this time. And it is never too late. There is never a time too late when a mother can introduce children to Jesus Christ. There are families in which the husband and wife get married and have kids without knowing God and without being involved in church. And as the kids grow up and move out, then the parents get introduced to God and go to church, and their life changes at that point. And their goal becomes, it seems, and I've talked to many parents about this, they want to reach back and somehow introduce Jesus to their adult children. And the mother of James and John, even though these men were established and were probably going to take over the fishing business someday, their mother took them by the hand, probably, and led them to Jesus Christ, even as adult children. And so, when she is talking to Jesus, we say, well, I can't do that because Jesus isn't here anymore. But talking to Jesus, we call that prayer today. That when we pray, we are basically talking, carrying on a conversation with Jesus in the same way, although probably not as bold, as the mother of James and John. I doubt if any mother today is asking for their children to get places of honor in heaven. We tend to be more humble with that, with our requests to God. But we pray, and we pray for our children, and we pray great things for our children and mothers. And I've been told this time and time again, and you have told me many of these stories, that mothers pray great things for their children. They not only want their children to succeed, but they want their children to succeed in the Lord. And there are families. I married into a family in which many generations and many men in that family are pastors. And you hear the women talk with great honor and almost pride about how the men of that family are all in full-time service to God. And so when the world is thinking about what they want their family to be, perhaps they are talking about riches or living in a big house, but it seems when truly godly mothers are praying for their kids, salvation and Christian service seem to be something that is held in high esteem. Salome also knelt before Jesus. It says in Matthew 20 that she came and she knelt. My guess is she probably made her two kids kneel too. But they knelt before Jesus because this woman knew that she was in the presence of power. She was submitting herself to Christ. There is not an arguing going on in Matthew 20. It is a respectful, humble, simple request. And when we come to God, when we come and we teach children how to treat God, we say you treat Him with respect, and that oddly enough, we kneel when we pray, and that is a sign of respect and a sign of worship as we are praying. And as I said, James and John seem to have caught what was going on there. You add that teaching with the presence of their mother to the cross, to Pentecost with the Holy Spirit, and these two men were on fire for God. They went to the ends of the earth to convince people and to teach people who Jesus Christ is, not because they read it in a book, but because they saw it in their mother. They saw how their mother treated Jesus, and they learned how to treat Jesus. So today we pray for all sorts of things, and we may pray for wealth, and we may pray for power and education. But of course, the lesson from Scripture, especially in Ecclesiastes, there is one word that is attached to all these worldly pursuits, and that is vanity. It's emptiness. But if we push people, if we pull people, if we take people by the hand and introduce them to Jesus, that is eternal. and no one can ever take that away. So the conclusion of that story is they did not get the right and the left seats. They did not get, when John is looking, John, who's one of these kids, is looking in the book of Revelation, he does not see himself sitting at the right hand of God. He sees Jesus there, and God seems to be off in his glory apart, and that there are not people sitting next to him and giving him advice like an earthly king. That is a misunderstanding of how God would work. And so they made this very humble but very profound request, and they did not get it. And so we need to be loose, or hold on loosely to the dreams of our children. We need to hold on as we introduce them to Jesus. We are holding them by the hand, as Salome was. And then we let go and we give their hands to Jesus. And how Jesus will mold a mother's heart around the ministry of their children, how Jesus will mold and do things with a child that a mother could never imagine, is what Salome had discovered about what Jesus could do. Salome is the feminine version of Shalom, which we know means peace. It is the female version of peace. And so her name being peace, and she brought peace to her children, she brought peace to her own heart, because when you put your children in the hands of Jesus, you can do no better. You can do nothing greater. And when you let Jesus become the parent of your adult children, you need to realize that you have only done as much as you can, and you will be at peace, and so will your children. And so Jesus gets crucified, we know from Scripture. And on that Sunday morning so long ago, we see in Mark 16:1. In Mark 16:1, you had this group of women at the cross. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And so in this week's time, she came from, I want great things for my kids, to, I want great things for my God. I want great things for Jesus Christ. She witnessed the crucifixion on the cross, and now she is part of this group that went early Sunday morning to anoint with spices, because there was no time on Friday night. And therefore, she was one of the first to see the stone moved away and angels standing and sitting there saying, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And when we look at Pentecost, we are simply given the number of 120. We have these 12, then down to 11 throughout the ministry of Jesus. And then, boom, in 10 days, it's grown to 120. And you may ask, well, where did they get all those? My guess is all these women that are going to the cross and then going to the tomb, including the mother of James and John, were in that group, that everybody who gave any sort of acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, even though they were not in the inner circle, were invited into that room, so that when the Holy Spirit was given the first time, there is a good chance that she was just like Peter and James and John amongst those who got the Holy Spirit first and were able to spread it around the world. And so then we come to the question of, why do mothers love their kids or love their children? And people, geneticists and scientists and sociologists and psychologists, have tried to figure this out for years. There's actually apparently a scientific basis for kids being cute, so that we will feel nice to them and love them. But the truth is, when a child is born, that child is part of the mother. That child comes from the mother. The mother can look at that child and say, hey, that's part of me. That out of me and my chromosomes and my genes came this child, and this child is not an alien or a foreign thing that is not known. It is part of the family. And in the same way, when God looks at you and you can say, well, why in the world does God love me? The truth is, it's not because you're cute, even though I'm sure all of us are. God does not say, you're the cutest, so I love you. God loves you because he gave his son to make you part of the family. We are born into this world, but we are bought into the Christian life. And we are adopted in so that when Christ looks at you today, he sees a brother and sister in Christ. When God the Father looks at the saved people today, he sees children that are loved infinitely more than you can ever love your own children, because you were chosen and you were picked, not because you were cute, but because of his love for you and for his good pleasure. And so God is building a new family, one in which we bring people to Christ as brother and sister, as family, as friend. And this comes from the earthly family, where generation after generation, life after life, family after family, people are being brought to Christ, people are being brought to church, because there is no greater gift that you can bring your kids other than Jesus Christ. One commentator said, God loves you so much, your picture is on his refrigerator in heaven. I don't think he needs one, but that's a great idea. That all these things you do that you think is just foibles and mistakes and bothering things and annoyances, these are things that God loves and that God loves about you. And he takes whatever you hate the most about you, perhaps, and says that's what he loves most about you. And he carries your picture in his wallet, and he tells all his friends about you. I wouldn't doubt it if all day long up in heaven now, God is bragging to all the angels about all his kids, because he loves you so much. And he wants to communicate to us, so why wouldn't he want to communicate to the angels? And so on this Mother's Day, there are people publishing all these pictures of their mothers long ago and mothers that have gone before. And so I will share. That's my mother and her mother. My mother's the tall one. That's my mother in junior high and her mother. And then my mother when she graduated from high school and she captured my dad. What? That's Jean Wilson. My mother, yep, when she's 18 or 19. So on this Mother's Day, let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I just thank you for my mother, and I thank you for all the mothers that are represented here, and help the people of this world realize that there is no greater gift a mother can give to her children than the gift of an introduction to Jesus Christ. For a family that worships Christ, a mother and children that worships Christ, is no greater thing on this earth than that, because that is the thing that will last for all eternity. Wealth and riches and all this stuff that the world goes after is all going to pass away. But if we have a relationship with Christ, we are saved for all eternity. Lord, we praise you for that. And ask your blessing upon this day, we ask this in the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.